as soon as you turn that one on, music started. It's going.
It's okay. We can start.
I'm officially calling the meeting of ANC1D to order April 2nd, 2008. Commissioners present, McKay, Czar, Wasserman, Scott, and Edwards. And we'll start with our open discussion. David Ivanka, did you? You didn't have anything you wanted to say?
I thought we'd start with the front.
Okay.
Why don't you start off by introducing yourself?
Hi, my name is Neil Richardson. I live over in Ingleside Terrace, and proud to be served by Jack McKay.
Tony Marchetti. I just moved into the neighborhood. I'm living on 1801 Irving Street. I'm just here to observe. It's my first meeting, so.
Hi, I'm David Vaca here from Councilmember Graham's office. I've been asked to provide an update on things at the City Council. Should I?
Please.
Okay. Well, this is, as many of you probably know, this is budget season. The immediate issues that are I think most pressing are for Councilmember Graham are the budget for the Committee on Public Works and the Environment. We have the budget hearings on the Department of the Environment and WASA and DPW tomorrow. We have the budget hearings for DDOT, WMATA, and WMATSE on the 18th. And we have the budget hearings for DMV, the Taxi Commission, and ABRA on the 21st. Tomorrow is DPW, the Department of the Environment, and WASA. The 18th is DDOT, WMATA, and WMATSE. That's the Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Commission, probably the least known agency we have that actually has a budget. And the 21st is DMV, the Taxi Commission, and ABRA. Any other questions? Or?
What should we be doing with respect?
You know, you're sort of our ambassador to the council.
Well, I'd be certainly willing to, as a role of ambassador, to carry messages back and forth. But in terms of what you want to do, that's really up to you. Obviously, we want to make sure that the area, as well as Ward 1 in general, has its concerns properly reflected in the agenda for the coming fiscal year. But how you want to present your case and how you want to be represented is really up to you. But we'd be glad to see you.
So coming in and presenting our relevant resolutions and perhaps saying whether or not the agencies have answered them would be relevant.
I think so, yes.
Anything further in public discussion? No? Okay, then I guess we move right along to...
We have a couple more people that just came in, including Mark Jacobson, who is potentially interested in working with us on our website. And
that's better. My name is Mark Jacobson. I live at 1665 Lamont. And I ran into Greg on the street last week, and he told me all about this. So, and he's trying to petition me to do some website work.
Could you say a little more about your experience? Because we may be wanting to engage you in something somewhere between volunteer and at, shall we say, a concessionary half-volunteer wages.
Sure. Yeah, right now I'm a director at a company called Blackboard. I work for their consulting group. I've got about, I guess now it's like 15 years of IT experience. I've done development work, mostly like web development and advanced technologies and things like that. I was originally an engineer, and I've been doing a lot of project management for probably about the last 5 years.
Let the record show that Commissioner Tunda has joined us at 7:13 p.m.
We have
Further. Anybody else want to say something?
This gentleman just walked in.
My name is Pete Modoff. I live at 16th and Lamont. I'm just attending. I have no services to offer.
Well, we're not pressing people for public discussion. We just kind of like to know who you are.
Which corner are there four? Which there four? Oh, the Majestic. Yes. So you're at 1665.
No, 3216.
3216. Oh, I see, sir. Yes, so you're in my district.
Oh, good.
Hello, I'm Heidi from Heidi's Restaurant. And I just come to see how things are here. So be with you.
Thank you.
Okay. Hello, I'm Hope Fortner, Heidi's customer. She just nabbed me and dragged me up here.
Welcome. Okay, since it seems that we have nothing further in public discussion, then we can move on to our proposed agenda and try to get the consent items out the way.
Well, the first issue is Secretary's report.
Okay. Secretary. Yeah, it's sitting right there, Jack. I'm
yes,
so
ma'am.
Sorry.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I'm doing my best. We've got the minutes for the March 4 meeting, which I have revised in response to certain comments. And the minutes of the March 18 meeting, the draft of that, was sent out on March 20th. I want to know if anybody has any corrections at this time to either set of minutes.
I didn't have any corrections.
And can we consider those two sets of minutes accepted?
You can say, seeing no objections, you declare them accepted.
Oh, well, I was just speaking for myself, but okay. Seeing no corrections, we can accept them.
Thank you. Now, the Treasurer's report.
I think we have some outstanding paperwork that we can't locate. I also want to point out that I this isn't meant to end-load anyone, but I sent out a letter. This was in reflection of our participation in the oversight hearing that Greg and I both participated in. I as Treasurer, and he is standing in for Chair. And it was sort of a reflection. The letter is addressed to all my co-commissioners, and it includes some comments that I'll get to about the Treasurer's report. But it's my reflection on my participation in this ANC. It's my first time in public office. So I encourage people's comments and feedback, because it raises some issues that I think will surface tonight. And one of them is, as Treasurer, if I'm going to continue as Treasurer, I feel that, and Jack, you're great. You do a lion's share of everything in our commission, but I've never really had access to the cabinet, the checkbook, or the records. I have to depend completely on you, and you've been great and reliable, but I get things at best second or third hand, because the bank statements you collect and scan and everything. So I can only report at meetings what I'm able to piece together from the emails from Jack, who's been the most conscientious person in the world about everything. So with that said, so maybe we could talk about whether I'm going to continue as treasurer and who the treasurer will be, if not me, and then providing the treasurer with the ability to access those things so they could competently participate in the process. We have some outstanding invoices that we can't track down, including my food for the historic preservation event. The auditor sent us a list. I printed out what I could. I don't know, Jack, if you sent it to the auditor as an attachment. I couldn't really figure that out, but I would be glad to drop them off in person. We have, I guess the last thing that was submitted was maybe an invoice from Dunstan about the rent for the ANC. So that's all I have to report about the treasures.
May I have a question? I guess Jack or Greg, maybe you would be the guys to answer this. So we can't trace down those checks that Jane is speaking about. What happens with that, and where do we stand with that audit report?
Let me respond to that. I mean, one of the problems at the moment is that we're trying to clean up on the mess that Joe Esparza left behind. And I can understand, Jane, why you feel that you're sort of left out, but we're dealing with things which happened when none of us was involved. So I think the situation will change. My position as secretary is, I see it, to collect the information and distribute it to everybody. So you should get everything as soon as everybody else does. I think it will look better. Right at the moment, it just looks especially awkward because we are scaring up things which happened a year ago and trying to track down those records that Joe failed to provide to the rest of us. And I'm sure that we will not have a recurrence of this. I have here a spreadsheet showing what I have been able to locate. There are a few items that are missing, and I think we're just going to have to take a hit on those. And just did nothing
so, so these are the ones that you were able to find.
Well, you can see I've got, this is the list of what the auditor asked for. This is the list of invoices and receipts where I was able to find something and scan it or otherwise put it back into the system. He asked for certain copies of checks. I was able to find those. What is missing? Some of the things that went through Barbara, and she provided invoices to Joe, but she didn't keep duplicates herself. And other miscellaneous things. We did get one of the past La Casa statements. This one down here in last August is still missing, but I expect Dunstan Hayden to come up with that. And I think at this point, we just declare it all we can do and send it in and absorb the hit.
Well, I totally agree, so we can move on.
Yeah, I think we spent enough time on this.
It's not a lot of money.
No, it's not. It's not. It's just embarrassing to have our financial records be so scattered and incomplete. But that's because we had a treasurer who wasn't cooperating and disappeared with a lot of the records and never responded to our request that he turn over his records to us.
Yeah, and it's no reflection on us because once you, you know, you get nominated for this position, it's something that you say, I decline if you feel you can't handle it. And so when someone says they got it, then you have to allow them to do their job. We had no reason to question it until after the fact. So.
Yeah, exactly. We trusted Joe and that was our mistake. Now, my policy on this is to get everything into computer form and put it on an internet site where everybody has access to it. So even if all of us should be wiped out in a meteor strike tomorrow, the records will still be there. We faced a similar situation 6 years ago when I first came on this ANC, and all six commissioners had been replaced. All six of us were new. And we had a terrible time dragging down records because they were scattered about in somebody's boxes. We can't have paper records in boxes. They've really got to be on a computer where everybody, all six of us, have access to them. And even if we all expire, the computer, the website is still there, and anybody who knows how to get to it can get to those records and recover from the situation.
Okay. Well, I don't think anybody objects that we can get say goodbye to this, settle it. So, Oliver?
Regarding the missing receipts and invoices, how will that affect the ANC in terms of the future audit?
If I may answer that, I think we just lose the money. If we can't provide, and that was one of the problems with the grant process, if you can't provide the receipts or the invoices for the expenses, you won't get reimbursement. So that'll be taken out of our amount, our account, right? But let me, we have another quarterly report coming up, right? That's due. I mean, it's January, February, March. So we got to start looking ahead to that and figure out who would like to be treasurer, if not me, and when that's coming up. I forgot to check the date. But so far, I think all the invoices have been scanned and entered, and the bank statements scanned. So
I think it will be easy this time because we have vastly improved our practices. I'll work with you to look at that. I'd forgotten about that quarter report. Yeah, it should be due pretty soon.
Okay.
May I?
Okay, G, I'm going to allow it. Please make it quick so we can move on. We spent too much time on this one point.
Okay. Just to be clear, Jane, you should not feel pressured to stay in the job if you don't want to, because I think that we could also, under the city rules, ask if Jack would take on being both secretary and treasurer. I don't think it would be a lot of extra work for him, and if we said pretty please, he might even do it.
Okay, but I don't think this is the time to discuss that. We can put it in its place and discuss it later.
Okay.
We now need to agree on the treasury report. So all those in favor accepting the treasury report as it's been submitted? Any objections? No objections. It's unanimous. Treasury report accepted. Okay, am I doing unfinished business before?
Committee reports. Do we have any committee reports?
Oh, yeah. Do we have any committee reports? Commercial quarter?
I don't think any of the committees have met, so there should be no reports.
Okay, so now we're in unfinished business. First thing I see is Education Committee funding and budget.
This has been tabled. Do we want to take it from the table and deal with it now, or leave it on the table and deal with it another time?
If
my opinion is we can do it another time. That's just me.
Madam Chair, we may be able to deal with it very quickly. It's been on our agenda for a while, and if it is going to take let's try to use the very successful method that we ginned up last time based upon suggestions from Dave Bossera. I think it worked really well. And if we have further discussion, well, then we can always defer it. But let's see if it's something we can get quickly.
Jane?
There might be a grant resolution coming up tonight that might either render this moot or render it on the back burner, so I would suggest tabling it in lieu of discussing the resolution for the grant process.
Madam Chair, Jane, if you withdrew it, you can always reintroduce it because it's very easy to reintroduce it, and at least we'll get it off of our books, and then you can introduce it at any time.
Well, we'll see how the grant thing goes first,
okay.
I think. So.
Okay. So what are we doing? Are we moving on with this? Everybody's in agreement to move on?
Jack has a... go ahead, Jack.
Jack didn't even have his hand up, Greg.
Well, I'm sorry. I do have a comment to make on concerning this, which is that this really is... It sounds like more an issue of establishing our overall ANC budget, which is something that we have to do. And what I would propose is that we set this aside and then take a look at our annual task of setting up an ANC annual budget and to simply incorporate this in that process.
Okay. Everybody in agreement with moving on with that? It's unanimous. We're moving on.
Proceed. We have many new business items. This is the total list. Now, Greg and I were trying to discuss how best to go through these to try to deal with the easy ones first, the consent items first, and then proceed to ones which require more effort. One way to go about this would be to consider them each in turn and just agree right away. Is it a consent item or is it not? And if it's not a consent item, then it gets deferred to new business.
Okay, that sounds like a good idea. So we at the top, meet the neighbors event, Dave.
What are the ground rules on this? Do we need two negatives to knock it off from being the consent, or one negative?
I would prefer to adopt your rule as an experiment. It worked so well last time.
Well, which rule is that? Greg, Dave was just asking the question. Is it one or is it two?
Two is the way we worked last time. And call it the expedited agenda.
Okay. We kind of like need to listen. That was a question put out there. Your comment didn't answer the question. Your comment took us somewhere else. Okay. Two. Is that not correct?
Properly, a consent item is something that has unanimous approval. And if even a single person objects, then it's not a consent item, and it should be treated as new business.
Except that last time we did it with two, and an experiment.
I disagree with that, but that's the best approach, because if it's unanimous, then there's no question about it. If it's one person objects, then it gets fuzzy.
That sounds good to me.
Okay. Madam Chair, I have an observation. I'd like to combine this with another resolution that I put together that would expand what he wants and incorporate it into a larger budget. And it assumes that we have staff. So
I'm sorry, I don't know where we're going here.
So
are we now asking the question, is Dave's motion here?
So
is that the question?
I'm stating that I would like not to consider it right now, but consider it later after something else. Yes.
Well, this is very timely. We only have a couple of weeks to put this on. So I would like to see it discussed immediately.
But the ground rules are, if it's not a consent item, it becomes new business. Let's go through, pick out the consent items, get rid of them, then yours is tops on the list, head new business.
Okay. So
I'm not trying to derail it, Dave.
Okay, so we're moving on. This one, we have to come back to this one. What's
that's
the
right.
next one?
And second monthly meeting policy. Dave, do you want to propose this as a consent item?
Yeah, all this is an internal business house rules that we agree that the second monthly meeting should be discussed, named, and justified.
Yeah, I think this is a pretty reasonable policy statement. Or
I object. I think our current system is fine.
Then the one objection.
I don't know what our current system is.
Well, the fact remains that means it's not a consent item, so we move on.
Nope, not a consent. Let's move on.
Bylaws change. I really think this requires more discussion.
I agree.
The topics by Greg can be removed.
Right. Reduce use of paper and plastics and plastic bags in D.C. Dave? I would object to this as a consent item. I don't have to say. I just object.
Okay, we're moving on. Promote beekeeping in D.C.?
I object.
Maintain the unlocked alley gate at Kilbourn Place Northwest and 17th Street Northwest.
I object.
Purchase authorization. Now, we've just established that the cables seem to be the problem. I am requesting $40 for blank compact disc we're about to rent out, and up to $175 to buy cables to solve the debt.
Well, I certainly feel that this is a consent item.
Oh, just one last item. Two laser pointers, $20 each.
Fine.
Okay. I think they might be handy.
Can we all agree that this is a consent item? No objections.
Consent item. Those three purchases are consent items.
Yes.
Thank you. 16th Street grade separation. That's making 16th Street down at Ribot Park go under Columbia Road and Harvard Street in Argonne Place, so that instead of having to cross through four lanes and five lanes of traffic to get across the other side of 16th Street, you'll be able to walk directly across. It'll make it far more pedestrian friendly. The 16th Street go under the way South Capitol Street or North Capitol Street goes under a number of cross streets.
As he says, it was a recommendation of a previous traffic study.
It sounds to me like this is not a consent item that it requires further elaboration.
I'd rather, if it's possible, just do it as a consent so we can move on and get back to the other ones we need.
Well, if we have no objections, it will be a consent item. Do we have any objections? Hearing none, it's a consent item.
It's a consent. Okay, thank you. Tree removal notification to ANCs. This has to do with word that Department of Parks and Rec is about to take down a 100-year-old oak tree of enormous dimensions, and they weren't going to tell us about it. This is an advice to Parks and Rec to give us notice of such a thing. I trust that this will be a consent item.
Any objections? Consent item.
Okay, beach drive closure hours. This has been my personal issue for a long time. That is, beach drive is closed on weekends for recreational use, which is marvelous, but they open at 7 p.m. And on Sunday evening at 7 p.m., a lot of people are still out there enjoying their beach drive. And suddenly you have cars in the middle of all these people and children and bicycles and strollers. And I think they should be advised to postpone the reopening to traffic until sunset or some time approximating sunset.
Consent item.
Consent item. Thank you. Don Juan Trash Housing Settlement. As you know, Peter Nichols instructed Department of Transportation to issue permits for the trash housing and a concrete pad and such behind Don Juan's. There is a suggestion that people are attempting to overturn that instruction, and we've been asked if we could provide our support to carry out those directions from our interim attorney general to the Department of Transportation.
Any objections?
I don't have an update, but is it OLS or?
No, ma'am. Not unless the commission wants to hear from you. Does the commission want to hear from the lady?
No.
All right, we're moving on.
Okay.
Jane, what did you want to say?
Is Nichols spelled right, or is that OLS? Is.
That's the way he spells it. It's unusual, but that is the way he spells
okay.
it. Yes.
Fine with me.
Do we have any objection to this? Consent item.
Thank you. Jane's resolution on education budget transparency.
This is for, this makes the statute, there was a school takeover, as you remember, and some of the text, the relevant text of the statute replacing the school board with the chancellor, some of the revisions sort of fell through the cracks and there's murkiness in the statute. So as it turned out, the requirement for the school board to provide the details of its budget before public hearings, right, for the mayor to have public hearings, sort of fell through the cracks, and this will sort of tighten that up in that it makes the chancellor required to provide the details of the budget so that when there is a public hearing, when the mayor has a public hearing on the school budget, parents and concerned community members will be able to talk and testify at the hearing in an informed manner.
Any objections?
Yeah, I think this requires a little more evaluation.
Okay, well, we're moving on.
Jack, are you making a list of the ones that have been?
I'm hoping that we can remember, and I'm trusting in our audio recording.
But we need it
because
if we're gonna, okay.
This just goes too fast for me to keep up.
So I could be making a list as we went.
Yeah. Klingel Road reconstruction. This has to do with the reconstruction, the rebuilding of Klingel Road. It seems to me this is sufficiently controversial that this should not be a consent item. This should be something we take up and discuss in detail.
If there's no objection, I say go ahead.
Well, let's hear from the other commissioners. This is essentially.
I haven't heard any objections.
I'm sorry?
I haven't heard any objections.
Consent item. We're moving
okay.
on.
Consent. Thank you very much. Engage the staff services of Dean Neal Richardson Jr., our honored guest.
Hi. I think we should discuss no offense to any of the candidates, we should discuss how. I see this sort of came up in a request for an audit. we have to be democratic in how we advertise staffing positions. I think we're a government entity, and we have to be sort of an equal opportunity employer rather than just go by a subset of the commission's connections. I think it's got to be more open to the public, and we have to do it systematically and fairly.
So it's not a consent item.
Yeah, we'll come back to that.
Okay.
Eviction by neglect.
Any objections? Consent.
I think we should give this some more discussion under new business. I'd object to this as a consent item.
Okay.
That's not to disprove it. I just think we need to talk about it a bit.
All right.
So there's an objection. Yeah.
Can we hear from the audience about this?
We will be revisiting all these. Greg, this is yours.
Yeah. I worked this out with some of the, with specifically Denise Wichter and Alice Kelly, as Denise wanted some changes in our study alternative for transportation patterns. And she said that if we made this adjustment, then it would work for her and her neighbors. In addition, talking with Alice Kelly, she suggests that we perhaps need to put the bus shelter that is proposed. Go ahead.
Let me object to this as a consent item, because I think it's already, this is more complicated than we can just wave on through.
Again, objection does not mean disapproval.
Just want to talk about it more, right?
Yes.
Warrants discussion.
Fine.
Greg, this one is yours, district agency contractors and ANCs.
We have the problem that that once the district releases a contract on a general area, then the contractors often are the other agencies and groups that are delegated to handle the thing are not apparently think they are not obligated to follow the ANC law charter and give us notice, acknowledgement, and great weight. And this simply asks them to take responsibility for that.
I think this is legally questionable, so I'm going to object to this as a consent item.
Well, the agencies are responsible in any case, but anyway, going ahead. But the problem is that they don't tell us what's going on.
Okay, we're moving on to the Creative Alliance of Mount Pleasant.
This is Greg's proposal.
Again, this is, as I mentioned earlier, this is an attempt to incorporate Dave Bosserman's idea and to extend it so that the end result could be a longer series and perhaps some long-term result of it.
Because I would object to be subsumed into some yet-to-be-created omnibus that for a project that has to happen in 2 weeks. I don't think the ANC should be in any business of setting up other groups.
I think that constitutes objection to this
yes.
as a consent item. Inclusionary zoning. This is another proposal from Greg.
We have a large number of buildings that are now in play, and I think that we need to explore new ways to handle them, because the current ways are very likely not to work. So this, in effect, asks for a discussion and a study to try a new approach in Mount Pleasant.
I will object to this as a consent item again, because I think this is too important, too complex an issue to wade through without discussion. And that completes the list.
So can you put the list back, Jack? Because I only have four that we have consent, and I think we did more than four.
Yeah, I certainly said okay. Difficult to keeping track.
Yeah, we did the meet the names just coming back.
That one became, well, maybe people can help me with.
No, we were going to discuss that one, I believe.
Purchase authorization is consent, so number 7.
Yeah, number 7 is consent. I think number 8 was.
Yes.
9.
Yes.
10, 11. Yeah, 8 was. 8, 9, 10, and 11 was. I think 13, I don't remember. I think it was.
Yes, 13 was.
What about 15?
No.
Okay. I think that was all of the consent.
Then
you can make a motion. If somebody needs to make a motion, we accept all these by consent.
I would take that as implicit in the consent agreement good. That those were all 6-0 votes in favor of each of those.
Good. It simplifies
things. I think the next question is, which of these issues do we want to take up now under new business?
Well, we promised Dave that his would be first.
Yes, we did.
Meet the Neighbors will be first.
And Meet the Neighbors is on the floor.
Well, this was one of two April events that I am seeking ANC sponsorship. The first is an event on the 15th in La Casa, our second meeting that will simply be a social for Mount Pleasant groups. Now, this one, is this the one by, yes, at April 26th, Saturday, Frank Agbro and Laura and friends, afternoon of culture and community that I was seeking ANC sponsorship. The only thing that happens if I don't get that is I just take the ANC's name off the poster.
Okay, we want to start with comments. Can we start with you, Jack, and come around, or
it
would
needs
you rather?
A second.
I will second. Jane seconds. It's second.
Okay, now we have it second, so now we're having discussion. And Jack, again, can we start with you and come around?
Yeah, I wanted to be sure that we were named as a sponsor so that this would not be a grant to any other organization. These are ANC expenditures for ANC purposes. And I certainly don't mind the $140 for the fees, the purpose we could apply for the waiving of the fees. I'm not so keen on the $200 for advertising. Other than that, it looks great to me.
Yeah, I think it's great. I mean, advertising probably wouldn't take $200. I guess that's just the upper limit. But for flyers or something, is that what you have in mind? And I think it's great that the ANC actually gets out there and shows that it's doing something, you know, physical in the neighborhood and peppy.
Oh, I guess it skips days. You know how he feels. Well, I mean, I totally agree with this. I think really it should be more of it in that park. I don't have a problem with the 140 either. I think the 200, just a little teeny bit problem, but no big deal. I know you have to advertise, and so I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, I think this is a very good idea for the community to come together and enjoy music. But if you look at the cost of the advertisement, I'm a little bit not. I think that to me is a little bit too much for advertising. If it can be reduced, because what does it mean to advertise? What exactly do we do to advertise the event?
Well, up till now, the only idea was to print up some posters and put them around.
Could we? I'm sorry, Jane. Let Greg does his, and then we come back. Okay.
I'm all in favor of experiments and where we try something new and do it once and see how it goes. In this case, we have done similar things before, and I would like to not subordinate this, Dave, into something else, but to go ahead with this and perhaps add on something else that could continue, because my experience is that you only get the waiving of the fees, which for a series can be a huge amount of money. Be $1,000 or for just a real limited, and if we do it a whole summer, it could be $2,000 of waiving of the fees. You only do that when you're trying to do a series, and the Department of Parks and Rec feels like it's going to redound to their good name because there's going to be some advertising and the like. So let me suggest that I go along with several of the other comments. That add $100 and the advertising of $100 go along with the rest of it, but then ask that you reconsider something where there's no attempt at a cultural aggression to take over the thing, but to start to work to extend it. Because, and the reason I say that is that my experience is those dates go very quickly, and if we don't start something now, by May, our next meeting, we will not have a possibility of doing it. And this, and I'm with Jane in saying that this is something that, where I believe the neighborhood needs it, and the ANC should help increase the cultural diversity of it. So I'd like to go ahead with it in some way that doesn't make you feel like that my proposal is elbowing yours out, but is complementary to it. And I'd appreciate some further feedback from Dave.
Thank you, Commissioner Edwards. We've got to go back to Jane now for her comments.
I agree. Reduce it. A friendly amendment to reduce it to 100 for advertising.
Jack.
In that respect, I think $100 would be admirable. And keep in mind that we got our poster fellow over here, Tony Grillo, who does our monthly posters for $50. Of course, he gets the posters for free. So $100 would cover sending him around the neighborhood and take care of a good chunk of that.
Okay, Dave, you're going to accept that as a friendly amendment?
Yes, I will, but I would like to see this separate from the follow-on effort. I think there should be a follow-on effort, but I'm not sure there's enough time to get through the Parks and Rec bureaucracy with anything in the next 2 weeks.
I've been successful at doing it because I have established relationship, because it's the park is in my district, and they usually come to me, and I try to serve them very quickly, and I think I have some IOUs.
Well, then I would suggest seeing this as the first of a series, but approving this for now in case the whole series backfires.
I move the vote on this resolution with the $100 in place of $200.
Everybody in agreement to close discussion and vote?
Yes.
Okay. Everybody in favor of meet the neighbors with the change of $100? Oh, it's already there. Okay. Everybody in favor?
Yes.
Oh, it's unanimous.
Okay. I would like to suggest that as a priority item that we take up the Neil Richardson appointment.
I think it's a good idea. Is that acceptable?
Okay. Everybody agree to go to, where is it? Oh, it's coming. While we're waiting for Jack to bring this up, it seems to be a pretty inclusive intro. Is it anything that we specifically would like for Mr. Richardson to have time to say? Is it necessary, or do you guys want to hear from him? Jane, I'm sure you want to, don't you?
Well, I think Jane had a procedural question.
It'd be great to hear from you, and it's not an attack on competence or validity as a candidate. I just think that on reviewing, I've reflected since the oversight hearing, and y'all can read the letter and respond in time. But we have to have a democratic process for and an open process for hiring and an equal opportunity process. And I think that requires, and I think that's only fair since we're a government body, right? And that we should have an open advertisement for staff positions and a pool of candidates, and then, you know, depending on objective criteria, and then hire rather than do it the Huey Long way. You know, I think we should have it open.
Anyone else want to offer something before we ask Mr. Richardson?
Neil, do you know what the regulations are?
I'm sorry, Jack, say that again.
Are you familiar with the regulations that we have to adhere to in taking you on as a contractor?
Offhand, no, I'm not certain of the regulations. However, I do want to say that the points taken by the commissioner, about a democratic process, how, and irregardless of the decision that's made today, if it is made today, tonight, I'd love to sort of talk to you during the week and get to know you and any of the other commissioners to introduce myself to you.
I'd like to observe that in the past we've had some large contracts and for services, and there was no we worked it through Gottlieb Simon, and there was no restriction. I think it may be different when you're hiring a full-time employee, and there are restrictions, but not for hiring contracts for services. Indeed, I spoke with Gottlieb about it on Friday, and he suggested that this is a way that we could start to deal with our work.
Would you envision a temporary appointment, giving time for, you know, research into this and further discussion?
Since this is at will, I assume that the question was directed to me. Since this is at will, I'd like to suggest that we proceed with this, and then if issues come up, well, then we can always renegotiate this with more in hand. But I'd like to get this going so that we don't lose more time.
Actually, Jack, I didn't understand the question. From a legal and a regulation standpoint, from the city's perspective, there is no law or regulation that the ANC will be breaking by employing me or anybody else. However, as an example of good democratic process and good working relationship, that's where the question comes in, and that's where I respect the question put forward by the commissioner.
Jack?
Yeah, I brought up the pertinent section of the DC code, and it does indeed apply to employment, position description for employees. And it's important that this is going to be a contract with a contractor, it's not hiring an employee. We've, in the past, dealt with this issue, and we really do not want to take on employees because that entails a whole raft of additional bureaucracy and paperwork.
Well, go ahead, Jane.
I just wanted to conclude, you guys say, because the requirement for a democratic process for staffing and contractors is not set forth in the law, that you don't find it a necessity to follow that procedure as an ANC. That's what you guys are basically stating for the record.
Actually, what I propose is this. Let's go ahead with that, and that we can talk amongst ourselves, and that seems to be what we want to do. We can do that while we can add that on while we move forward with services that we need immediately. But let's defer that and start the process now. Then, if the commission wishes, we can do that starting next month.
Okay, I totally agree that we need to get a staff person to get started right away. However, I do feel that things have to be done in a different manner now. The gentleman was known, and he was sought out, required to come tonight or asked to come tonight or what have you, and we don't have options. I'm not saying that his record is not good or what have you, but I see Jane's point. You just give us the one person. Now, I'm in agreement with we can hire him to do what we to get started with what we need to have started, but I don't feel that we need to put him in a permanent position because we do have a right to voice our opinion. One of us may have somebody else that we wanted to put forward, but you know that can come later. So I'm in agreement with hiring now, but not that he be the permanent person if he would agree to do whatever work we need to have done now.
Yeah, I think I quite agree with what you said and agree with what Jane said. You know, the process has to be very open. If ANC would like to hire somebody, whether on temporary basis or not, that position has to be made public. They have to compete. If there are so many people, they have to compete, and then we select the best. I know he is great. He has done a lot of work, but still, I think it will be better for the position to be thrown out there, and then people compete for it.
May I suggest then that one of the first assignments that is to ask a new staff person to do is to look into helping us get a process that would advertise the position, and then look at what we have on our next meeting.
So we stand now with what is it now that we're going to temporarily hire him, and you're saying if we hire him, then his first role of duty is to seek out his competition?
What I'm saying is for future references, we can hire him today as a part-time, but in the future, should we have a situation like this, we have to make sure that the position is advertised, people compete for it. But we can go ahead, and that's my opinion.
Okay.
Let me observe very quickly that included in the list is finding people to work with us on a website, a grants manager, and other things. And so I think Neil is just an extraordinary opportunity, and that we should go with this. And that because there are three or four other positions that we have, that I'd like to agree with Oliver that we ask that those be filled with a more competitive approach.
Jack?
Yes, this is really a special situation here. I've known Neil for some years now, and it just is a fortunate happenstance, fortunate for us, I suppose, that he happens to be available at this time, having voluntarily departed from the mayor's staff. He is a resident of extraordinary stature, capability, and experience, knowledge, and connections. You're not going to find another Neil Richardson in Mount Pleasant. It is extraordinary that he's going to be willing to come to work for us for the pittance of $50 an hour, because I'm sure he could command five times that out in the public market. He's doing us a favor by offering us his services. He wouldn't do this except he sees this as part of his civic duty to try to help out at ANC. I think this is a marvelous opportunity, and worrying about advertising the position and competing the position, sort of thing, that's really perfectly irrelevant. You're not going to find anyone to rival Neil Richardson for this job.
Okay, can I get a motion to close discussion?
So moved.
We have a motion. Can I get a second on that? No. I'm looking for my second to
second.
Close discussion.
I second motion
okay,
to,
we got a second.
To close the discussion.
Discussion is now closed. Are we ready for the vote?
You need a vote on closing discussion.
Oh.
And that takes a two-thirds vote.
Okay. Can I see all those in favor of closing discussion? Okay. Yep. I have my two-thirds.
You have four votes with Jane and Dave not voting.
No, we'd like to keep the discussion.
discussion open.
Okay. So you have four votes affirmative to close discussion. The four votes affirmative, Greg, Oliver, Stormy, Jack.
Okay. So discussion is closed. Now can we vote? Do we want to do this by roll call? Let's do a roll call. Starting on my right.
Greg, yes.
Oliver, yes.
Stormy, yes.
Dave, yes.
Jane, no. Nothing personal.
Jack, yes. Passed 5-1.
Congratulations. Thank you. I think you should congratulate us for for taking this opportunity. Yeah.
If I could just, I did, thank you.
Excuse me. Okay. I'm going to recognize you and let you speak, but I'm a real technical person. I don't like nobody to take my position from me. Now I recognize you, baby. Come on, speak.
Thank you, Stormy. I look forward to working with the commission, and I thank you for the votes, both the yes and the no, and I also thank you for the kind words, Jack and Greg and the others. I will pledge to work in a very collaborative way with all parts and facets of the community. If there's one thing that my career has represented in the past through the Williams administration and the Fenty administration was to bring in all voices. And so the collaborative process will be a very important priority. And I also am very happy to share the capacities, the skills, and networks that I have within district government to sort of move some of our important neighborhood projects forward. So this is a really great way that I can participate in my neighborhood. I've lived in the neighborhood for 10 years, for those that don't know that. I was chair of the Mount Pleasant Heritage Trail Working Group, and my family's been in the neighborhood since the 1890s. So I have a strong and deep affection for Mount Pleasant. So thank you.
Well, I'm so happy to have you here and living in this community and wanting to work with us. I feel real good knowing we have somebody who really knows what they're going to be doing. So I thank you so much and welcome. Why are we blinking at Klingle Road? Didn't we do that? So what is the next one that we needed to take?
I suggest bylaw changes because that's something that has been serious discussion, the grant policy.
Will we come to a discussion quicker on that one than we will that Unlock Alley gate at Kilbourne? Okay, commissioners, which one do y'all want to take next? Yeah, it has. Yeah, that was a consent. He just don't have a little thingy up there. Yeah. Number one. Okay. Speak up, guys. Which one we want to take next? Do we want to do the bylaw changes? Okay, bylaw changes.
May I, Madam Chair, may I speak?
Go ahead, Greg.
Let me say that there's not much to say because we've been discussing this now for a couple of months, I think, and I want to thank Dave Bosserman and Jack McKay for having taken their hand at rewriting and straightening this out, and so the good in this is due to my fellow commissioners and their ideas. I appreciate it very much, and I hope it. I know there may be some disagreement about a few numbers, but I think the rest of it has emerged by somewhat consensus.
Yeah, what I would suggest is since we do have a large carryover, that the carryover be factored in by some percent each year. And I had suggested a percent that Jack didn't like, so I would say 20% of the carryover be factored into this.
Could you explain what the differences numbers would be? Like how many under this, how much would the total allotment for grants for the year for our community be? versus what you propose?
$1,200.
$1,200 out of excess of $56,000?
Well, this is the yearly allowance.
Right. So right now, this has $1,200
for the... $1,750.
$1,750 for the entire allotment for grants for the entire community for a year.
Yes.
As opposed to 20% of 56, for instance, 56,000. Right? Okay, so is that a friendly amendment that you're asking for?
I don't accept it as a friendly amendment, so why don't you move it and second it as an amendment?
Move it. Okay. I move to amend this to change the amount by increasing it so that it's worth the paperwork. $1,200 is not going to give anything to anybody. $1,700 is not going to give much to anybody. And the paperwork and the procedures will eat us alive versus the amount of good we'll be able to do in the community.
If you're going to amend it, don't you need to give us a proposed amount that...
So it would be 20% of the carryover ANC allotment, annual ANC allotment.
Okay, wait a minute. Did that have to be a separate...
No, it's just as you remove the 10% and then put the phrase...
Let me try to understand what's being proposed here, because what's going on here is that there's concern about how to use the backlog.
Yeah, this would be 10% of the yearly plus up to 20% of any carryover.
So I would suggest that you offer this as an amendment to add to the existing text, where it says, shall not exceed 10% of the annual allotment, add the phrase plus 20% of any backlog at the beginning of the fiscal year. Is that appropriate? Okay, so that's offered as an amendment.
Do we have to accept the amendment?
No, that's... I said I would not accept it as...
So it has to be moved and seconded. So it has been moved. It's moved and seconded.
It's moved and seconded.
Any discussion?
No discussion.
Discussion, please. Stormy.
Jack.
Yeah. The background of this is that in previous years, the funding for ANCs was larger because it anticipated that we would have employees. And now we've taken on Neil Richardson, and as you can imagine, as we have found in the past, the money goes fast. The money goes surprisingly fast. We've got a backlog because we haven't had employees for the last several years, so we've saved a lot of money, but that's a bit misleading. And I'm a little concerned about committing our backlog in this manner. The reason that ANCs have developed these surpluses, and it's a notorious problem now, is in fact because the funding was cut. The funding was cut to the point where they couldn't afford employees, and that's why so many ANCs have built up backlogs, because they couldn't afford to hire people, so they suddenly had more money. And that's kind of our situation, too. We really can't afford to hire anybody, because even hiring a single person will eat up our annual budget, no problem. So I can understand the desire to give away the backlog, but I think this opens a gate to a lot of other problems.
Greg.
I join with Jack. I think that the reason that we have savings is because the members of the commission have been doing the work that previously was done by paid staff. And I think some of us that have been doing that work probably can't do that much longer. So I would like to see this remain at 10% as a way to as a trial to get the process started with an amount, and then we will since we are envisioning getting a web support and other issues that will give us more staff, then I think that we should wait until we see how things work out before we go forward. So I would like to see us use the money that is allocated to ANCs for ANC purposes. We have a large number of issues like the comprehensive plan and transportation plan and a number of things that we need support for us to do the job to research what our alternatives are, because none of us really have time to do that. And this would give us a taste and get us a prototype going on a grants policy, and then it is easy to, as we can see, to amend the bylaws if we need to next year.
Dave?
Yeah, I think what you both said has great weight. I appreciate the fact that that the cut closed a lot of offices and fired a lot of staff, and there was a buildup. But this is only 20% of any carryover. If we spend all of our money on staff, then there won't be any carryover. So we really don't have to worry about it.
Point well taken. Jane?
I wanted to point out that at the oversight hearing that both of us, we both attended, there was this recurring theme with the council's concern about how much money is in the current ANC budgets, and that there is a need to increase the grants that go out to the community. That was voiced at least three times by Vincent Gray. It was addressed at least three times by Jim Graham. It's a priority that the council feels, to the extent where they want to go back and change the law that constrains, reinterpret the funding law so that the auditor doesn't always kick back the receipts and say, no, this is forbidden by law. You can read the transcripts. You can see the tapes of the hearings. It was a theme that was resounding to the point where I felt embarrassed about the fact that I belong to an ANC for a year and a half that has never provided any funding for community groups despite the repeated requests. And $1,700 is a ridiculously low amount for the procedures that are going to be involved.
I was there. I have a different recollection.
Well, Greg, we can check Greg, the record. Greg, we can Greg, check the you're record. Out of order. Jane, you are also out of order. Okay. Is there any further discussion? Seeing no further discussion, we're all ready to vote.
This is the vote on the amended text, which I have written in 10% of the annual ANC allotment plus 20% of any carryover of funds at the start of the fiscal year.
Okay, I'd like to, I'd also want a roll call on this vote, please. Starting with Greg.
No.
I'll say yes.
Stormy, yes.
Dave, yes.
Jane, yes.
Jack, no.
Okay, we have four yes and two no.
I move the vote on the amended bylaws.
Okay. Greg?
Seeing no objection to the closing, that we're to moving forward, I don't think we need a vote to close discussion. I vote yes for. Excuse me. I vote no for this.
I vote yes for it.
Yes.
Dave, yes.
Jane, yes.
Jack votes yes.
Okay, so we're 5-6. I mean, 5-1. What time is it? Almost 9? Okay. 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 Where do we want to go next? Can we... What is that one?
Well, one of the pieces that I think is pretty critical, because there are things coming up, is the essentially either the inclusionary zoning one or the issue about eviction by neglect or because.
Well, I know that inclusionary zoning thing is going to take a minute. I'm sure about that one.
Jane has asked for hers to be brought up, and I think it's
where is it?
Number 12.
Education budget? Okay.
Yes.
Fine. And then after that, Greg, we can do the one you're speaking of, eviction bond, 15.
As I said before, this basically requires the chancellor, who now is reporting to the mayor and replacing the school board. It's a complicated issue, and the schools are a mess in D.C., and so the mayor has taken it upon himself to sort of go to Congress and, I guess, change the Home Rule Act and take the power away from the school board and take the power for determining the budget for schools. But in the process of that, the hearings that included the public, where the mayor would reveal a budget before the school board would have hearings, and concerned parents with special needs in a school district would be able to go to the hearings and see what the details of the proposed budget were. Those details were never revealed for the public hearings this time. Hearings that used to last 11 or 12 hours before, according to Marion Barry, who has held the hearings historically in the past, they took 20 minutes this time because there was nothing to talk about. So this will require that when the budget is that the budget be released before it's presented as a done deal to the council, so they could make the limited amendments that they can, and so that the public could provide informed input about the needs for the education, for public education for their kids, and community members and activists and communities, education activists.
Discussion? Oh, sorry. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Discussion?
Yes, as Jane said, this is simply reverting to the tradition of having a budget to discuss when they hold hearings to discuss the budget.
Jack?
Yeah, I just find this whole thing mystifying. And I, even at the start, when it says prepare and execute a performance-based budget, I guess I really don't know what that means. Maybe it's just that I'm not familiar with the way this has gone in the past, but I'm just not sure what changes this is bringing about and why this is a Mount Pleasant issue.
If there are parents who have their children in, do you have a child in D.C. public school, Jack? I had one, and they have hearings, and if you have a kid who's in public school, you will be able, and you feel that the needs are not going to be met by the allotted budget, then you know, you can go and voice your needs because you'll have the information. I don't understand what's mystifying about the need for transparency. I mean, the budget has to be determined somehow, but it has to be revealed at some point.
I think Jack was referring just to the terms like performance-based budget, that kind of thing. Maybe it's too technical.
A performance-based budget, while I don't know what the criteria will be with the new method, but I assume that it would be performance based on test scores, standardized test scores. They now also have science-based standardized tests, improvements from the beginning of the school year to the end. That's certainly the way the budget was allotted before. Retention, maybe amount of attendance. I think there is a push by concerned citizens here that school closures, for instance, not be determined just on the amount of enrollment to close a neighborhood school and bus people out to larger consolidated, larger classrooms, but also that if the school is doing well, if the students are doing well, if the graduation rate is high, if the college attendance rate is high, and if the standardized scores are high, then that is a well-performing school. That's what I understand to be performance-based in education.
Craig?
I spent a lot of time in looking at education issues in my life, and I'm somewhat and I've also spent a good deal of time looking at performance-based budgets and the like. I'm personally mystified by what all this means. I thank you, Jane. I think this is an issue of great importance. I would like to see something like this passed. But right now, there are all these other issues that are coming up. Are very contentious issues and of the way school closings are handled and other things. And personally, I would like to, that's the reason that I would like to move to table this indefinitely until we can get more information about what these things would mean.
Oliver, do you have some input?
I have a motion to table.
I'm sorry. We have a motion to table. Excuse me, Greg, Jack. We have a motion to table and a second. All those in favor of tabling? Oh, I'm sorry. Discussion of the motion to table. Jack?
I find this really quite overwhelming. And I look at phrases like allocating all monies by activities up to the class, and I have no idea what that means. And I think this really needs to be set aside and explain in considerably more detail, perhaps translated into a language which people can really understand. I'm also very distressed by this whole notion of performance, measuring performance, because as you know, as in No Child Left Behind, it's very hard to measure performance of a school when a school is faced with an especially challenging set of students. So I think we really need to set this aside and consider this in with much more care over a period of time.
I also think we need to set it aside, Jane. I would also like to maybe touch bases with the other ANCs and see what their input would be about this. And maybe when we agree, maybe that could be a unified thing, you know.
Just one last comment. The mayor recently, from what I understand, has introduced legislation to take away the need for any details of the budget to be delineated before he rolls it out to the council. So that bill was introduced last week. We think that it was in response to a challenge of this sort for by school activists to reveal the details of the budget. I will agree to tabling it and come back with the simplified version of it. Because if ANCs can unite in their resolutions to demand transparency and public input, it sends a stronger message to the council.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I think we do need more time on it. So everybody in agreement that we're tabling this, come back with it?
Let's take a vote on
tabling. Okay, can I get a vote on tabling? All those in favor of tabling? Oh, 6-0, we're tabling that. And moving on. Did I say 15? Oh, eviction by neglect, Greg.
Actually, it occurred to me that Jane said that depending upon how we dealt with the grants bylaws change, she would consider withdrawing the education budget, and so that we could then, now that we have staff help, we can start to look at our longer-term budget issues, and wonder if we could take that up and just, because it's been on our books for 3 months.
Okay, I'm amenable to discussing that if you would like.
I propose
number 16. Okay, other commissioners, which one do you want? You guys want to do? Come
I'll
on, 16.
I'll go with Jack's because it's something that we looked like we could get out of the way pretty quickly. Essentially, everybody remembers that
this ANC recommended to the Department of Transportation and other agencies that the Mount Pleasant Transportation Study include as a specific alternative to be discussed. And this a series of changes that came out of about 20 large public meetings that we've had in Mount Pleasant over the last several years. There apparently is going on a lot of discussion of people along Irving and Park Roads because they would be impacted, hopefully beneficially, by this. But there's a group of residents that say that that it would be hard for them to live with that alternative, and they ask for this small change in the study alternative. So this amends that earlier recommendation in this way. There's a second element that could be separated, but I think it's part of it, because in talking with Alice Kelly, she says that increasingly where there are issues about the placement of shelters, especially because when people think that they're going to cause problems of visibility and increasing of accidents, then they want to study the placement. And this seemed to be what she mentioned, that she has gotten a lot of emails about this proposal, and that it wouldn't, when I discussed it with her, she said that it would be helpful if we would help provoke a discussion about the placement of the shelter.
Okay, any further discussion?
Yeah, I have a couple questions. Right now, I do believe it's one-way westbound. We want to turn it one-way eastbound. And I'm not sure how that does or doesn't allow people to have access to their homes. It's simply from a different direction.
Jane?
Yeah, I guess I'm confused about precluding the possibility of a bus shelter anywhere in the park. I mean, I must say I've gotten some emails about this because people are concerned about attracting crime and graffiti, and I really thought it was interesting because I've waited with my daughter because, the kids have to take public transit to go to Tenleytown to all the schools, and they wait in the morning for two or three buses sometimes, and it's cold in the winter. So when I think of bus shelters, I think about them as protecting people who are using mass transit, not that it's going to attract horrible things to a neighborhood. I just don't understand the negative connotations of bus shelters. So I'm wondering if this feeds into it. And I just don't understand how you can conclusively say that this will blindside everybody.
Jack. Wasn't my intent.
The visibility problem is actually for traffic emerging from Little Mount Pleasant Street out onto Park Road, where when you're trying to look for traffic coming from the left, it's hard to see the oncoming traffic, even just from obscuration.
Well, right now,
cars.
With one way
I have four, either west. Place,
Dave, you're
I
out of order. Place. Let Jack finish. You're talking over top of him.
So I think that's the issue. I think we are all in favor of a bus shelter. The only question is where it is positioned. I think we have to, and that's all really that this says, is that you have to consider where to put it. I think it would be appropriate to rephrase this to say that we're not opposed to the bus shelter. The only question is where it is put so that it doesn't.
I accept that
vision.
As friendly.
And a question, isn't this all contingent on making Park Road one way? If Park Road is not made one way, does this whole thing go away?
Well, there are actually two parts. One is the need for a study about exactly where to put it, because rather than just putting it above shelter anywhere, the suggestion is that we should study where it should go on that island.
Then we should have two separate resolutions, because this starts off to complement the proposed one-way. It suggests that if you don't make Park Road one-way, then this is not pertinent. You need what you're trying to say is that we need another resolution saying, let's worry about where this shelter is positioned so that it doesn't create a visibility problem.
I certainly would accept as a friendly amendment the division of this into those two parts, and I think it would be simple to do.
Okay, Dave, your comments.
Yeah, I had a question as to why people can't get to their houses whichever way the street is.
Okay. Further discussion on this? Jane?
Motion to amend then? To amend this as suggested?
I've accepted two friendly amendments so far.
Where are they? What are they?
Was one the separation into two?
Yes.
Proposals? Yes.
And the other, the second was that to restate that this, that we are still all in favor of a bus shelter on that island.
Dave?
I still think the basic premise is a phantom. Why can't people get to their houses? Does it matter whether it's west or east one way?
Can we get an answer to that? Does the commission want to recognize someone in the audience? Okay.
Because if you're traveling...
Could you tell us your name for the
Claudia,
record? Thank you.
Schlossberg. If you're traveling... I got to get the directions right. East on Park Road, you cannot turn... because of the way the park is configured, you cannot turn onto Little Park Road from Park Road because of that jutting out part of the park. And you just can't. So... And maybe it's where the light is placed, but it's that little jut out on the park that makes it impossible for them to turn and get to their houses. Is that right?
Okay, we're clear on that now, Dave? Okay, do we have it separated, Jack? So we can go ahead and... Oh, can I get a motion to close discussion?
Well, let's see if I've got acceptable text here.
Okay.
I just extracted the portion, the statement about the bus shelter, so it was not saying anything about a bus shelter pro or con. It just... is making advice concerning traffic directions, basically to make that piece of Park Road one way eastbound if Park Road is made one way westbound. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, so can we close discussion on this?
Is this text acceptable as it stands?
It seems to me that you don't want to put in addition if it's a separate resolution. Where you say at the very bottom where the cursor is?
That'll be another resolution.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll come back to that other resolution momentarily.
Yes.
Okay. Then I accept this as a friendly amendment.
Okay. Now can I get a motion to close the discussion? Okay. Are we ready to take a vote? All right. All those in favor of this resolution as it reads now? All right, we got 6-0.
Okay, let me take a look at this other one. Let me just rephrase this to say ANC1D, resolve that ANC1D advises DDOT to consider issues of traffic visibility in the placement of the bus shelter in the Park Road Park.
Sounds good to me.
I'll take that up from the
okay.
audio.
Okay, I'll take that as a friendly amendment.
Okay.
And move for a vote.
All those in favor of it, as Jack read it, 6-0.
Thank you.
All righty, rolling right along.
It was a good suggestion, Jack, to take that up because it gets something quickly. I wanted, since Jane said that she would be willing to reconsider her budget amendment to consider once we pass the grant. When I'm maintaining the website, it just looks awful for us to have the same items on there month after month after month, and I'd like to clean these things up if we can.
So, what are you asking for us to address now, Greg?
Her funding for the transportation, education budget.
Yeah, we're going back to what was unfinished business.
Yes.
And I would propose that this unfinished business item, education committee funding and budget, be withdrawn so that we can reconsider this as part of the consideration of the regular annual budget.
Second.
Okay, we have a move and a second. All those in favor?
Discussion.
So, we're going to have discussion on that.
Let me just ask when we shouldn't be coming up with the budget next week.
We are required to create to prepare an annual budget once we know what our annual funding is. And I'm not sure we will find out what our annual funding is until this government completes its work on its budget. So it may be well. Nonetheless, we can at any time proceed with working out an annual budget. I think it's a high time we undertook that.
Short story?
Greg.
We can also have a continuing budget, which we've done because it, if we establish something, well, then we don't have to do something de novo. And often in the past, we've done continuing budgets.
Okay. Jane.
Okay, last thing, since it's my baby. I guess, you know, the amount is a lot. We got the grant thing going now, so I think there's no need for that amount. My initial interest in setting that up was because of the lack of grants, but also because constituents have asked if we would have a fair housing forum or something, and actually Joe Esparza and I had talked about it briefly. I was kind of tired from the historic preservation thing, so it took a back seat, but this is, I just want to remind the commission that this is sort of to keep the interest alive in providing educational forums. I think we can serve a public function by doing that, and this would be a request for some seed money for things. I know I have $100 in the committee for the fair housing thing. I'm not sure that that would be enough, but that is why I want it to be an item that we talk about, so we'll have some seed money. So if there is interest in a public forum about something, we could have the groundwork to get it off the ground if we have a subcommittee. So that's all I want to say about it.
Okay. So, sorry?
Move the question.
Excuse me. It's getting my bedtime. I forgot where I was. So are we ready to vote now?
Yes.
Okay, all those in favor
withdrawing this of this resolution, yes, of the education committee funding and budget resolution.
Okay, with a show of hands. Is your hand up, Oliver? 6-0. Okay, we either got time for one that's going to take more than 10 minutes to discuss, or two that'll take 10 minutes.
Well, I'm quite concerned about the possibility that was discussed at great length at the last night's TNAC meeting, where all the attorneys, Johanna Shreve and others, and previously the attorney for
Greg,
what are you commenting on, Greg? Where are you?
15.
Okay, now it's almost 9:00. Okay.
Are we agreed to take up the eviction by neglect?
Yes, please. We can do that. Everybody okay with that one? Okay, Wayne either has an affliction or he wants me to ask the commission if David can speak. Is that all right? Because I don't want Wayne to go through nothing back there. All right, David Vaca, come on, dear.
Ready? I'm David Vaca again. I don't know if this if everyone would have heard this yet, but yesterday the council passed emergency legislation to immediately repeal the vacancy exemption for condominium conversions. If you hadn't heard that, that would obviously have a major impact on any eviction by neglect that might be going on. For a long time under D.C. law, if you were going to convert a rental building into condominiums or co-ops, you usually had to get a vote of the tenants to support that conversion, and you had to pay a fee as part of that conversion. You could get an exemption to both rules if no one actually lived in the building. And this, while it makes sense on its face, created a very perverse incentive where if you made the building unlivable, everyone moves out, there's no one to vote, your building is empty, you can convert it without having to worry about the tenants, and you don't have to pay the fee. Last night, the council closed that. Even if a building is vacant, that exemption no longer exists.
May I respond? At the TENAC meeting last night, it was provisioned by the tenant activists and the lawyers that that would be, they saw that that was passing. But we felt still, everybody in the room, and it was a large meeting of most of really the leaders of this area, felt that these kinds of issues still were left undone and particularly applied to the Deauville. And I stopped by your office and talked with John Dete about what was going on, and he did not say that, did not tell me that this was not needed.
I think that we're definitely opposed to eviction by neglect, no matter how anyone wants to try to go about it. And I know that Jim McGrath and TENAC in particular has documented some of the remarkable tricks that a unscrupulous landlord can pull to get people out of a building when they without any real cause.
But there's a piece of this that specifically allows us to apply it to the situation of the Deauville.
All right. I was just offering this as information.
Sure. Thank you.
Okay. We have further discussion here. Jack?
Okay. I have the feeling that this is kind of coming in late on this particular issue because obviously District Council is well aware of it. This is a very notorious problem now that
there's still loopholes. That
Greg,
sorry.
There is this perverse incentive to make a building unlivable so that all the residents leave voluntarily. That's working out to a great advantage to the owner. And I guess I'm wondering why we are coming in with this at this level, considering that District Council is already way ahead of us on this particular problem. Are we really doing anything useful here?
That was the opinion last night that where it would, they said it would be helpful. One small change I would want you to make is Grace is spelled G-R-A-Y. Sorry for that, but I would like to report the unanimous idea that there are still these issues that remain, and I hope that at least if we do this, we can move the discussion forward. If there's nothing, let me just say that. If the council is going to do this anyway, there's no harm. And if it is not, or is in its other issues, well, then at least we will continue to work with the tenant activists and to bring it to the council's attention.
Okay, we have 3 minutes is up for the discussion. Dave, go ahead. Got something you want to input in?
No, excuse me. I was just going to piggyback on Greg and say it does show good faith in working with TENAC and the other tenant groups.
Can I get a motion to close discussion? Okay. All those in favor of this resolution, by a show of hands, 6-0.
Thank you.
All righty, it's a quarter of. Can we find one other thing we can do before the hour closes down on us? I've been wanting to do the gate. What happened to it? Oh, yeah. That should be fairly quick, I think. Number six.
And the essence of that is... Oh, I thought it was a motion.
Perhaps we can save time by just saying I move item 11.
What number?
This is very short. I move that that we pass a resolution on maintaining an unlocked alley gate at Kilbourn Place and 17th Street Northwest. Resolved that the ANC advises Department of Transportation to permit the continued maintenance and use of an unlocked gate at Kilbourn Place and 17th Street Northwest. Rationale: the alley neighbors in Mount Pleasant community have supported the gate since 97 and still do today. It has worked as a public health and traffic safety measure to minimize crime, litter, and loitering near the intersection. Mainly, a piss alley is much more fragrant today than it was. And they feel that if this gate is maintained...
Point of order. Do you have a second?
Okay. If this gate is maintained, then people do not freely wander into the alley to relieve themselves.
Any further discussion, Jack?
Yeah, I'm puzzled by calling it an unlocked alley gate, because if it's an unlocked gate, it's not going to keep anybody out. The implication here is under some conditions, the gate is locked. But what are those conditions?
No, this is unlocked gate. It's a cosmetic. It is a community sort of notice that we don't want you wandering here to piss.
So the statement is that this gate will not be locked?
This gate will not be locked.
Okay, Greg.
Always Mount Pleasant has considered this and passed a unanimous resolution asking that the gate be removed. That it's a bad precedent for the enclosure of public property, and that it in effect tells people that you're not welcome here, and we are going to go to a gated community, and in particular, that there are alternative means to deal with this these days with lights and with cameras that can do the same thing. So I announce my intention to vote against this.
If we had public toilets, as has been argued long in this community, this wouldn't come up. But that is in the middle of the strip, and it is where people often find an urgent need to relieve themselves. So this was implemented. It certainly isn't taking up public space because there is free access. There is fire truck access, and there is no legal idea that then this can be blocked off.
Jack?
I recall a discussion of this where they said that it was locked and the immediate residents had keys. Is that not so?
That was quite some years ago.
Well, I'd just like to say, not unless I was at the wrong place, that I was near there and I saw somebody push the gate and it didn't come open.
That's my recent experience as well. I think that their promise to keep it unlocked is not always kept.
I'm by there most every day and I've never seen a lock near it.
Okay.
But I'm still concerned about this because my impression was also that it was locked. I guess I would move to table this until we can investigate a little bit further.
Second.
Okay, all those in favor and table it and get back with it? All those not in favor of tabling it? All right.
Okay.
Have a tie.
Yes, which means that the motion to table fails. But for the record, I want to point out, Greg, Stormy, Jack voted yes to table. Oliver, Jane, and Dave voted no to table. Is that correct? I need this on the audio record when I come back
later to find out who said what.
Okay, since we have...
All you need is a result of the vote. You don't need the tally on it.
I prefer to keep an accurate record of who
voted. That's your preference. That's not the law.
Okay. So now we're... okay, I'm lost. So now we're taking a vote. Okay. Although, yeah, discussion. Can I get a vote to close discussion? We did that. Okay, so now we're voting on the resolution as it stands, right? Roll call, starting with Jack.
Jack votes no.
I vote yeah.
Dave, yes.
Stormy, no.
Whatever, yes.
Greg, no. I think it fails for lack of a majority.
Okay. I'm sure it'll come back again. Okay. Seeing the hour, if there are no objections, I make a motion for adjournment.
Second.
Go to adjourn.
Oh, thank you. All those in favor of adjourning?
Unanimous.
Oh, 6-0.